Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today I'm joined by John Dolly, who recently set the supported FKT for the Mount Rainier Infinity Loop. Tune in to learn about this unique and supremely challenging mountain route with over 40,000 feet of gain in 140 miles, including summiting the iconic volcano twice. Thank you, John, so much for coming on the show today. I'm excited to chat with you about this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You recently set the supported FKT on the Rainier Infinity Loop. And I would imagine most people that listen to this podcast are familiar with Mount Rainier, the highest mountain in Washington. But they may not be familiar with what an infinity loop is. So could you tell us what the Rainier Infinity Loop is? Maybe some of the history, how long it is, elevation, just kind of describe what this entails.
Yeah, so there's a lot of history, and unfortunately, I'm not that well versed in it. I would like to be, and I meant to be before I was going to talk to you today. There's a Dirtbag Diaries podcast about a pretty well-known climber who passed away named Chad Kellogg, I believe, that he planned this route, and I don't think he ever got to do it. Unfortunately, I never listened to the podcast. I downloaded it to listen to it while I was doing the Infinity Loop, but I just didn't get around to it. But it starts at Paradise. You climb Mount Rainier up the DC route and descend down the Emmons, and then run the Wonderland Trail clockwise back to Paradise, climb Mount Rainier a second time, descend down the Emmons again, and then run the Wonderland Trail counterclockwise. And it ends up being around 130 miles. And I would have to check my elevation again, but I think it was like 40,000 total, or maybe more than that.
Yeah. So first of all, you're going up and down the giant volcano twice, but you're also running the Wonderland Trail, which is not particularly short or flat. So can you talk a little bit about what the Wonderland Trail itself is, since that's a component as well?
Yeah, the Wonderland Trail is really cool. It's a trail that goes around the circumference of Mount Rainier, and I hadn't actually been on any sections of it prior to this.
Oh, wow.
That in itself was really cool. It had a lot of elevation gain. I didn't imagine it being as cool as it was. Like, the views were breathtaking. The terrain was gorgeous. And I think that loop alone is about 90 miles.
Yeah.
I don't know what the elevation is on just the Wonderland.
It's a lot. I don't remember off the top of my head either, but I know it's quite significant. So you hadn't been on the Wonderland before, but had you climbed Rainier before you decided to do this?
Yeah, I've climbed Rainier a handful of times and skied a few routes. So definitely a lot of time on Mount Rainier.
Okay.
But not a lot of time on the Wonderland.
And were your trips up Rainier, what inspired you to do this? Like, where did you get the idea to do the Infinity Loop?
I think I heard about it from one of my friends who's a climbing guide. We're just making small talk one time when maybe we were climbing something. And then it's kind of outrageous. Like, it just sounds really painful. And probably the people who listen to this maybe are probably more conditioned than I am to hearing these outrageous routes. So to me, it almost turned into kind of a joke, like a punishment. So we would talk about, oh, what should we do today? Oh, maybe the Infinity Loop. Like, it's an outrageous idea, because it kind of is. And my friend Steven, who started with me and ended up finishing with me, we were trying to think of something fun to do for this season to push ourselves. And the Infinity Loop was on the list, but it was probably plan C. And then it just kind of ended up coming together. Neither one of us knowing a ton about it, but both being pretty familiar with the mountain.
So I've climbed Rainier and I've done the Wonderland and stuff like that. And I know that there are some huge permitting headaches with doing either of those things. So combining the two, that sounds worse to me than doing the Infinity Loop itself, as dealing with the permitting.
Yeah, so the rangers are pretty cool, especially when you tell them, oh, I think I'm going to do the Infinity Loop. They mostly know what it is and get excited. So if you do the Wonderland Trail in a continuous push and you're not camping anywhere, you don't need a permit for it. And then the permit for Mount Rainier, I ended up only needing one, because the permit isn't, I could be getting this wrong, but this is how I understood it. It's not to climb Mount Rainier. It's just permission to go above 10,000 feet and attempt to summit over the couple day span that people normally intend to climb. So I just needed one normal climbing permit. And since I did it with a partner, I didn't have to get the exemption to do it solo, which is something else that you typically have to do if you want to climb Mount Rainier alone.
Yeah.
But it started off rocky because, like I mentioned, neither one of us really planned super well. So when we showed up, to go get our permits the day before. We hadn't really checked on the condition of the mountain, and nobody had climbed Rainier on the DC the way we wanted to go up for maybe a week, I think is what they said. The route was out. A bunch of ice bridges had fallen, which was really discouraging.
Right.
We didn't think we'd be able to do it. And my friend Steven had to go back to work. He's a doc at a hospital, so his schedule is pretty strict. But then we ended up calling some friends who work on the mountain and got some beta from them on where the new route was probably going to go once they got one reset, and then ended up just going for it the next day anyway. And it worked out perfect.
Was that because of the heat wave that the bridges had collapsed? It was too hot?
Yeah.
Okay. So you went the way they were planning to set the route. So the route was unset though when you went through. You just were the first ones going through there?
Well, we had to plan to be the first ones going through, but the guides had done so much work. So no one had topped out yet and worked out the last little hiccups when we planned to leave. But the next morning, I think we left at about 6 a.m. to start the route, thinking that no one had been to the top yet, because the day before, nobody had. And normally the DC on Rainier is a very, very straightforward route, which is great for like an adventure like this, because you can go super light. And traditionally, people who do it self-supported or unsupported have mostly done it solo when they're getting fast times. And it's a pretty reasonable thing to do on the DC normally. When I had talked to a very experienced guide who works on Mount Rainier, he recommended that we don't do it solo. I would definitely bring ropes, probably wear climbing boots where normally we planned on wearing running shoes, because the new route had sections of a very steep snow and a fixed line with an actual climbing component that's not normally there. So that kind of changed it a bit. Fortunately, once we got off the Cleaver, where the route started to fall apart, they had put in a fixed line that we didn't know was going to be there over this section of really steep climbing, which was awesome. And we were able to use the fixed line. And then it was just past the fixed line. It was just a big slog where normally it's a very established path to the top of the mountain. This was more like post-holing, which was tiring and slow.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty exhausting way to start an FKT.
Yeah. We didn't have any intention of trying to get an FKT initially. And especially after the mountain was in such bad shape, we're thinking it'd be really cool to just finish. Definitely had our hearts set on finishing. And then it just ended up coming together.
So you didn't find out the information about the condition of the DC until you showed up to get your permits. Did you just have the climbing gear in your car with you? Because you were planning to just go in sneakers, but you had boots and things in your car.
Yeah, I threw them in because I had a feeling. I imagined that it was going to be just cruiser and we were going to be going fast. And I actually had them in for the opposite reason. I thought we were going to be going so fast potentially that we'd maybe be descending at night when it was icy. And I figured that I would rather have boots to descend ice. But my partner didn't have them, so.
Oh, so only you had the...
Yeah, so it was kind of funny. When initially we thought we were going to have to totally set the route, it was like, okay, well, I'll have boots, an ice tool, and I guess we'll bring pickets, and then I can kind of like pseudo lead sections and then, you know, belay him up in running shoes.
Yeah, that wouldn't be ideal. Did you have full crampons?
Yeah, I had Petzl Leopards, so those lightweight crampons.
Right.
I was planning on using those with my running shoes. So they were like strap-on crampons, and I just put them on a normal mountaineering boot.
Okay. Well, we're kind of going down the gear rabbit trail here. So what else were you carrying? Did you then come down off the Emmons and put mountaineering boots in your pack and crampons and switch to your sneakers? And tell me about the gear you were carrying and maybe the gear transitions, because you're doing very different things here.
Yeah. So I started in La Sportiva cubes, I think. They're like a lighter weight climbing boot. And then after descending Rainier, I kept those on. But then from Glacier Meadows, or basically the inner glacier, where you don't really need a boot anymore, it was a bummer to have those. I didn't bring running shoes. And I imagined the White River campground where we had a bunch of stuff stashed. We were able to change equipment being closer. So I ended up like trail running for a few miles in mountaineering boots, which kind of smoked my feet.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Not the best idea.
So how far was it from where you get off of the mountain onto the Wonderland to where you had supplies cached at White River?
I think from the interglacier to White River, I'm just taking a shot in the dark. I don't remember exactly, but it probably wasn't more than 5 miles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So not terrible, but that's kind of a long ways to jog in a big boot.
Oh, yeah. And so from White River then back to Paradise, how far was that before you started going up the mountain again?
So from White River to Paradise, I think that section was about 40-ish miles. And that was honestly probably one of the prettiest sections. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was because the light was good and I wasn't super tired yet, but it was just gorgeous.
I mean, I've hiked the Wonderland Trail and I think that that is one of the best sections. It's very beautiful through there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. With
those beautiful alpine meadows and things. Okay. So you climb Rainier and then you basically do about half of the Wonderland Trail back before you climb Rainier again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shorter section. So one Rainier and then the shorter half of the Wonderland.
Okay.
It's divided in two.
Gotcha. So how long did it take you from when you left Paradise to you got back to Paradise? Do you remember?
Just under 17 hours from starting to get back to Paradise the second time. And we felt like we were running a little bit behind. My friend Steven and I were doing it together. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's definitely the more talented, more successful, handsome, smarter, the full package. But he just wasn't feeling very well. Everybody has off days. So the climb back up to Paradise, he was really starting to hurt a little bit. And yeah, we ended up getting there. We weren't racing for an FKT or time obsessed or anything, but we're aware. And we were aware that we were running a little bit behind.
So what was it like standing there? You've gone over the mountain. You've run halfway around the mountain almost. And now you're looking and you're ready to go right back up the mountain. Were you just like, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is what I set out to do. Or were you like, maybe that's enough? Did you have any doubts before you started going up the mountain the second time?
No, I actually felt really good and I was excited. And we had planned initially on taking a break because obviously we started at Paradise. So we had stuff there. Steven's wife, Corinne, was there and a friend, Sam, was there. So we were thinking we would change clothes, eat, and then take off again. In that moment, I was just ready to go. Wanted to just keep going. Steven felt really sick and logically it makes sense to take a break there. So
right.
He was thinking he might try and get some sleep and eat a little bit. And I was in agreement. That sounded like a good plan. The other people's trip reports that we'd read typically taken their big rest after the second Rainier. We both agreed it made sense to do it during the night hours because in their trip reports, they'd said that they weren't able to sleep because it's light out and hot. So it just made sense to do it at night for us. I don't really know how long the break was because I just laid down in a sleeping bag and was out pretty quick while Steven was trying to recollect himself. And then he ended up waking me up and saying, hey man, I think I'm going to tap out, which normally you try and talk your friend out of, like, no, don't. But it kind of makes sense. It's a long ways. It's a good day. So at that point, honestly, I thought that I was going to be done too because more than getting an FKT, I really just wanted to go on a big adventure with my buddy. And I definitely didn't want to climb Mount Rainier alone in the current conditions.
Right.
So Steven said he was out. And then Sam, another friend who was there, was like, yeah, man, it's just not meant to be. And then Corinne, who was there, just looked at me and is like, nope, you should do it, which I really appreciate because that was the right answer. So then I was like, all right, that's a good idea. And Sam, who I had only known for 5 hours at this point, agreed to climb Mount Rainier once with me.
Oh, wow.
So that I wouldn't have to do it alone. Because again, in the current conditions and just in general, I'm trying to be more of a safety-oriented person. So having a partner and using a rope was a good thing for me.
Now, had Sam ever climbed Rainier before?
He has. He's a super talented skier. So he's been up there and I think he skied a lot of lines on Mount Rainier. He just isn't normally climbing mountains on foot. But unfortunately, Sam got very, very sick.
Oh.
On the way up, he got a gnarly stomach ache. He literally at certain points was curled up in the fetal position and he just toughed it out, which was super cool considering that he doesn't really know me that well. And He probably wasn't very comfortable, but he just dug in and was dedicated to helping a friend.
A new friend.
Yeah. So now we're trauma bonded. I think we're officially friends right at this point.
Yeah. You're definitely friends now. So did he go all the way over down the Emmons with you as well?
He did at the interglacier. I split off and so that I could run back. I left my boots with him and I brought running shoes.
Ah, so you did learn.
I did learn. I kind of wanted to be self-supported when we had first started. But the way I understand, if a partner drops out, you're maybe supported. So at that point, I figured, all right, it's supported. Game on. And I was eating Sam's food and he carried a bunch of stuff for me. And
yeah, I was actually wondering, because when I was looking over the history of FKTs on the Infinity Loop, pretty much everybody goes self-supported. Yours is the first supported effort. And so I was wondering why you chose that. Sounds like it sort of accidentally came about.
Yeah, it chose me.
Yeah. So did Corinne and Steven drive around to pick Sam up? Was Sam just kind of hanging out there? Like, what happened to Sam?
No, they drove around and we're back at White River again after Steven had a big day of rest. So he was feeling all recharged, which was awesome. And then Corinne, this is super fitting. Handsome, smart Steven's wife is also super fast and successful. And she wanted to go out for a run too. So she ran with me for that 25-mile section from White River to Mowich, I think it is.
Okay.
Which was awesome. It was fun to have company. That's why I ended up not getting to listen to that Infinity Loop podcast on the history, because I just had people to talk to.
Right.
And then, which I was really, really happy, is Steven felt good at the end. So we were able to finish together. So we did the big last section.
So did he run from Mowich to the end with you then? Or?
Yeah, he did, which was cool, because that's what I was looking for. We've been friends since we were kids and used to go out and have these big adventures where we would just be totally wiped out and our parents would almost call search and rescue. And I was kind of looking for the grown-up version of that.
The Infinity Loop sounds like it.
Yeah, definitely.
So we talked a little bit about sleep. Was that the only time you slept, was when you took that nap at Paradise?
No, I slept somewhere else. I can't really remember. I think it was maybe around 3 a.m. the second night. Steven set a timer for 15 minutes and just laid down on the side of the trail for a little bit, took a power nap, just pulled a buff over my face and was like lights out instantly.
Did you have problems waking up and getting going after that, or did that just totally reset you?
No, I felt totally reset, actually. And I got up pretty easily. I work at the fire department, so we get up from alarms all night long. So I'm really like conditioned to waking up to beeping noises. So that was a pro, I guess. The big drawback was I got so incredibly stiff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt okay when I laid down. And then after that 15-minute break, I was like 90 years old. And it probably took 30 minutes or an hour to work back into good movement again.
That's what happens to me a lot of times after dirt naps. I get up and I feel better mentally, but my body is totally locked up and I'm just like hobbling for a mile or two until things loosen back up again.
For sure. I definitely needed that though, because I was unable to run because I couldn't stay on the trail.
Mm.
You know, I was like a drunk person.
Right. You're just like hitting bushes.
Hitting
bushes.
How
are these wandering into me? And like, you know, you're wandering into them.
Totally. In the trails in that section, it was a little trenched out and narrow. So I was tripping over my feet. I hallucinated for the first time. That was new for me.
I was going to ask, that was my next question. Yeah. Were there hallucinations? Because I feel like when you get to the point where you're stumble running, there's usually hallucinations.
Yeah, I hadn't had those before. I was actually with Corinne when I saw the first thing. We were coming down to a creek. And there's a ton. You've done the Wonderland, so you remember a lot of creeks and river crossings.
Right.
And they get kind of tiring. And we were coming up to one and I got a little excited and was like, oh, awesome. This one will be good. Because I saw a nice little hobbit bridge.
Right.
And a little hobbit house, like right out of the Shire, really well built, going over the creek we had to cross. And Corinne's like, yeah, another creek. And I thought, oh, that's not the appropriate reaction to this super cool hobbit house.
Right.
And then once we got around the corner down to it and it wasn't there, I was like, ah, here we are.
Right.
I'm definitely seeing stuff. And from then on, it was just seeing cars that weren't there and tents, a lot of tents.
Yeah. It's interesting the things your brain turns into things.
Yeah, for sure.
I tend to see a lot of tents and I see a lot of the stump bears. You see like the tree, but it's a stump, but you think it's a bear. And
no stump bears for me. I saw.
Did you see any real bears?
I didn't see any real bears. I saw a lot of goats.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. No bears. I mean, I could have been really close to one.
Right. They might have seen you.
Yeah. But no, fortunately, didn't see any bears.
Any other wildlife besides goats?
Not that I can recall.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing I can remember are goats.
Were the goats mostly on the mountain, or were they on, when you're on the Wonderland Trail?
They were on the Panhandle section of the Wonderland.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty high up.
Yeah, big herd of them.
You mentioned that you work or volunteer for the fire department. And when I first reached out to you, you said you were on a wildfire. Is that like your primary job? Like, or is this something you just do sometimes?
No, yeah, that's my job. I'm a paramedic for the fire department.
Okay. How does that play into your ability to get outdoors and stuff? Obviously, it makes you really good at waking up after short naps and being ready to go. But, you know, how else does that play into it?
Well, I think it works out really well because we work 24-hour shifts. So you end up with good amounts of time off in a row, which are nice. And you end up with an opportunity to live a pretty healthy life if you want to, so you can take advantage of the time off and go up in the mountains. We're allowed to and encouraged to work out while we're on duty in between calls.
What do you have planned next? What are your next goals in the mountains?
I don't really know. I'm going to go run the Grand Loop in the Olympics tomorrow.
Nice.
Which I haven't done before. Not trying to set a fast time or anything, but I'm going to go out and enjoy that. I think the next thing that I really push myself on will, I would really like to climbing every volcano in Washington and seeing how quick I could get them all done. I feel like if you lumped Mount Adams and Mount St. Helens in on the same day and then just drove to the others and did it supported, so someone drove you and you just napped in the car while you were on the way there, I feel like I could probably get all those knocked out fairly quick and have a lot of fun on the way.
Yeah, definitely. Any interest in doing infinity loops on any of those?
Yeah, I just saw the infinity loop on Mount Adams, which looks cool. And I have a coworker named Jen, who's a pretty strong runner, and she wants to really push herself up in the mountains. And I feel like that would be a perfect thing for us to go do.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to convince her.
Yeah, definitely. I think the infinity loop concept is really fascinating. And we do have several volcanoes in the Northwest with trails around them. So
yeah, for sure.
Lends itself really well.
Yeah, I saw there's one on Glacier too, which is also probably really cool.
That one would be so burly.
Yeah.
So is there anything else about the infinity loop you'd like to share, or any advice for somebody who's looking to experience something like that?
I would just recommend that if you are thinking about doing it, or if it sounds interesting, you should definitely go do it. It's really, really fun. It's not as hard as you think. That's all I've got to add, I guess.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks again, John, for coming on the show. You can read about his FKT on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow his adventures on Instagram at sayitlikejohn.